Good morning. Good to see you and to have an opportunity like this again. We're thankful. We appreciate that the Lord has blessed us with this occasion to be able to assemble, to come together to worship Him. And we invite you to get your Bible, to continue to have it open to Luke 2 and some other verses that we'll look at this morning in a moment as we study His Word. We especially are happy that if you're visiting, we appreciate that you're with us. And if you're not a Christian, that you would listen very intently to what the gospel says about salvation. Salvation from your sins and the hope of eternal life that's available in Jesus Christ. His gospel is the good news that sinners can be redeemed by His blood, by the sacrifice that He offered. That God is accepted for the sins of the world when we by faith will respond to His call to know God, to come to God, and be saved by repenting of our sins, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of our sins. If that's your need this morning, we urge you to do that, and we stand ready to assist you in responding to that call of God to be saved. And as Christians, of course, always too, the invitation of God goes out that we would examine ourselves, that we would be careful to walk in the light, and if there's sin, that we would confess it to Him so that, knowing that He is faithful and just to forgive us when we will repent and confess our sin to Him in prayer. If we can encourage that, if that's your need, we hope that you'll do that. If there's some public sin that you need to correct among us here gathered this morning, if you need our prayers, we want to encourage you to respond again at the end of our study this morning. It's really good to have Jeremy back with us for a few days. Good to see him here among us as well. Appreciate that he's able to come and be home for a few days. I'd like to turn our attention to this matter of looking for Jesus. You know, God says that if you'll look for me, you'll find me. The Bible is full of that message. In fact, in Acts 17th chapter, as Paul is on the Mars Hill in Athens, and above is, we can envision that above him is the Areopagus. The Parthenon, with the temple to Athena and all the gods of the day. And he has an opportunity to speak to them about a god they didn't know, but they worshipped in ignorance. And he said that God has provided his evidence of His presence and of His power, that He is a creative God, that He is a self-sustaining God. Man does not sustain God. God sustains man. He said that God is a ruling, sovereign God over all the nations, and that if we will seek Him, we can find Him. Verse 27, he says, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. Even of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. We live and move and have our very existence because of God. He is not far from any one of us if we will look for Him, if we will seek for Him. But we have to seek God in the right way and in the right places. As David was nearing the end of his life and he gives the instructions to Solomon to build the temple of God in Jerusalem, in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9, he told his son, as for me, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve Him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever. David urged his son to have a genuine heart, to have a willing mind, a loyal heart, and to seek God in truth, to seek God according to God's will. And he would be found by Solomon. And he'll be found by us. And yet the reality is that there are a lot of people who seek for God who don't find Him. A lot of people seek for Jesus, and they don't really find Him. In John the 7th chapter, and I apologize, I think we may have a typo in our outline. It may say John 6, that should be John 7, 34 through 36. Jesus is in Jerusalem during the feast on that occasion, the Feast of Tabernacles. And we read in verse 37, "You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come." Then the Jews said among themselves, "Well, where does he intend to go that we should not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this thing that he said, 'You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" Jesus admits that there are some who will seek for him and will not find him. Now, how can that be? If God wants man to find him, if God is near to all of us, and if you're seeking, you can find, how is it that some wouldn't find him? Well, based on what we've just already read from 1 Chronicles 28, if we seek Jesus in error, we're not going to find him. I mean, he was standing among them at that very moment, but he said, "Where I go, you're not going to find me." He said, verse 33, "I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I will go to him who sent me." Jesus was going to the Father. He's accomplishing the will of the Father. And if we seek Jesus in error, we're not going to find him there. If we seek him with a wrong heart, a heart that's not loyal to God, we're not going to find him there. If we seek Jesus with impure purposes, he won't be found. So we have to ask ourselves this morning, why am I looking for Jesus? Well, I'm assuming you're looking for Jesus, or you wouldn't be here. Now, that may be an assumption that's invalid, because God knows the intents and thoughts, the intents of our thoughts, as David told Solomon. It may be that your thoughts are far removed from God this morning. God knows if that's the case. But we're going to assume that we're all here this morning because we're looking for Jesus. Because we're looking for God. Question is, have you found him? It's one thing to look, it's another to find. So have you found Jesus? And more importantly, are you sure you found him? And if you're sure you found him, why are you sure that you have found him? Because, quite honestly, we can point to millions upon millions upon millions of people who are sure they have found Jesus. And yet, as we come back to these fundamentals of truth, a loyal heart, a willing mind, the answer that Scripture is going to show is that not everybody who seeks him finds him. Because some don't seek in the right places for the right reasons. So, where are you looking for Jesus? If you're looking for him, if you're convinced you found him, well, where did you find him? And if you're still looking, where are you looking in order to find Jesus in your life, for your life? And more importantly, according to the Bible, where will you find Jesus? Where are you going to find Jesus according to what the Bible says? Is it possible for us to know where to find Jesus? And if so, can we actually find him? I believe that we can. I believe that the Bible teaches us of people in the Bible who looked for and found Jesus, and lessons are to be learned there for us. And we also learn of those who were looking for him but didn't find him as he ought to have been found and as we ought to find him. So let's explore this a little bit this morning. Just three. There's other references in the Bible, but these are three areas where we find people looking for Jesus. And I think there's some spiritual lessons for us in our life as we are to be looking for and finding Jesus in the right place for the right reasons. That is, with the right heart to accomplish the right goals, the right objectives. Wise men in Matthew the second chapter look for Jesus. Didn't they? Go over there with me for a few minutes. In Matthew 2, verses 1 through 11, we read about the Magi, the wise men of the East, the men who in the East would seek signs in the heavens, who would seek for information and guidance in the stars. A star appeared to them in the East, and they had come to Jerusalem, as verse 2 says, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And so here are these men who have come to worship a newborn king. And the text goes on there, and we'll not take time to read all that text this morning. But as you read it, you know some of the things that transpired there, and we'll come back to it in a minute. You know, that's a worthy endeavor. That's a worthy purpose to worship the King. Now, through the ages, kings have been worshipped. Sometimes they've demanded worship, like Nebuchadnezzar. And God showed Nebuchadnezzar, at least, and the others that there was a God above them, that they were not the Almighty. But in Psalm 2, we find that it's right to worship the right King, that is God's King, God's Christ. In Psalm 2, as it speaks of the Messiah, it said in verse 10, "Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son." That is reverence or show homage to the Son. "Lest He be angry and you perish in the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in Him." So it's worthy to be looking for Jesus, to be able to worship Him, to see Him for who He is, the King that has come at God's according to God's purposes, at God's instruction, to send His Christ, to set His King on the holy hill of Zion. Chapter 2 there of Psalm verses 6 and 7. That ought to be our aim, just as it was those men from the east. Our aim ought to be to seek Him, to find Him, and to honor Him, to pay homage, to kiss the Son, to be true worshipers. John 4 and verse 24, "God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." Jesus is God. He is deity. He is God with us. He is Emmanuel. We must seek Jesus to worship Him, among other things, to honor Him, to give homage to Him. Now, let's drill down a little bit more on that for a minute. Because these men found the King, found Jesus where you would least expect to find a king. Who finds a king in Bethlehem? That little village of shepherds. Who finds a king in a manger? Who finds a king in a house there in Bethlehem? The wise men actually didn't find Him in the manger. They found Him in a house, didn't they? That's where they found Him. But who finds a king there? You find a king in palaces, in elaborate mansions, according to the way people think. Look at verse 4 of Matthew 2. "When he gathered," that is Herod, "he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" So, the Scripture said the king would be born in Bethlehem. We find the king in the Scriptures. And the Scripture said the king would be found in Bethlehem. It was least among the villages, but would be great because that would be where God's shepherd would be born. The one who would shepherd His people. You know, if we're going to find the king, the Messiah, over His kingdom, the one who's king over His kingdom today, we're not going to find Him where people usually look for kings. If you're going to find Jesus today to be the King of your life, as He is King over His church, His kingdom, then you're going to have to look to the Scriptures. Amen. I'm going to have to find Him in the light of truth that guides us to the King. You see, the light of truth guided those men to Bethlehem. And it is the light of truth that guides us to the King where we would least expect Him. People expect to find the king in a shrine today, or in a cathedral today, or in a palace today. But the king of Israel came riding upon a donkey into the city, prophesied by the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9 and verse 9. Lowly, a lowly, humble king, a kingdom that's not of this world. This is the one who came to be the light in the world and to bring life to the world. In John 1 verses 4 and 5, when it speaks of Jesus who is the Word who became flesh, it also describes Him as light. It says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It didn't apprehend it. It didn't overcome it. Drop down to verse 8. It says that John was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. The light of a star guided those men to the place where Jesus was in Bethlehem, where the King of the Jews was born. But you see, it is the light of the truth of the gospel that tells them to go there prophetically. That's the reference point. If I want to find the King today, I'm going to have to go there. And when I go to the Scriptures, I'm not going to find a kingdom that hasn't yet come, or a kingdom king that's not yet on his throne, but someday that'll happen in a millennial kingdom for 1,000 years here on earth. No, it's going to take me to a king over a kingdom that's not of this world. A kingdom that is spiritual in nature, a kingdom that exists today as the King is on God's holy hill of Zion and He rules over His people throughout this world, those saved, redeemed by His blood. The one who has truth and gives grace. Chapter 1 of John, he goes on to say, in Him all the fullness we've received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Wise men look for Jesus, but unless they look for Him in the truth, they'll liable to be looking for Him in places where He will not be found. Now, when those wise men found the baby Jesus, they worshiped the King. Matthew 2, verses 9 through 11. And that's the call for us today. When we find the King, we need to worship Him. In Matthew 2, 9, when they heard the King, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When we find the King, we need to rejoice. We need to acknowledge Him, honor Him, kiss toward Him, pay Him homage. And when they had come into the house, didn't say the manger. When they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped Him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when they had been divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country another way. When we find the King, we need to worship Him. Wise men did. Guided by the light of truth. Guided by the light of truth, that's where we're going to find the King, even today. King Jesus, over His kingdom, His church. Why don't you look also that His parents looked for Him? His parents looked for Jesus in Luke 2, in our reading this morning. And, you know, they looked for Him among their family and friends. Now, as we read, and the circumstance was, at 12 years of age, Joseph and Mary, Jesus and the others, other people from around Israel came to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. The journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem would take a number of days over very rugged terrain. A group of people would travel it together, family, acquaintances, friends. They would travel together. And as they would ascend the mount, they would sing psalms. Songs of ascent are found in the book of Psalms, sung in praise and honor and thanksgiving to God. They arrive to Jerusalem, they honor the feast, they keep the feast, and they return home. They finish the days of the feast, verse 43. And they return home. They think Jesus is among the friends and acquaintances. But He was not. He remained in Jerusalem. Now, what's all this point for us? Well, when they couldn't find Him, where did they look first? They sought Him among their relatives and acquaintances, verse 44. When we asked a minute ago, where did you look for Jesus? A lot of people look for Jesus among their family and friends, among their acquaintances. Well, that seems reasonable. I mean, you know, Jesus may be found among our family and friends. Eunice and Lois had faith that they taught to Timothy. He was found in their lives, and they taught him the Holy Scriptures that would make him wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 15. So he may indeed be found among our friends and family. And yet, the caveat, of course, is that friends and family are not the final source or standard by which we find Jesus. They can direct us to Jesus. Their life may influence us to find Jesus, may set examples before us of making it easier for us to find Jesus. But Jesus Himself said, "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." That He made a distinction between a loving family and loving Him, and that we must love Him more. Now, parents are to guide their children with truth to find Jesus. That's what God wants. So when you know, when we say, "Well, I'm going to find Jesus among my family," well, you may, but if you just find Jesus, you know, like the fellow told his son once, who he said, "You're not going to get a car unless you obey the gospel." Well, that's not how you find Jesus. Obey your dad. He tells you to be baptized, so you be baptized for some other reason. Not for the right reason. And you don't be baptized just because your parents said to be baptized. You be baptized because Jesus taught it for the reasons He gave. You know, you repent because Jesus said it. You confess faith because Jesus said to do it. So they looked for Jesus among friends and family, but they didn't find Him there. And it's important to see that even his parents didn't know where Jesus was. It may be that your parents don't know where Jesus is. It may be that they do. But in either case, where are you going to find Jesus, really? Ultimately and finally, where are you going to find Him? You're going to find Him not because somebody that you love has Jesus in their life, and so you do what they tell you to do. You're going to find Jesus by doing what Jesus tells you to do. You're going to find Jesus in His Word of truth. Now, look at Proverbs 2 with me in that respect. You know, the passage says, "My son, if you'll receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ears to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." So what are we supposed to do as parents? Well, there's a time where our children do what we say to do. They come to worship services because we bring them. And we set that example and we teach them that. But we also are to be teaching them that we worship because it's what God wants. Not just because it's what mom and dad want. It's what God wants. And that we are following what God's will is for our lives, because it's God's wisdom, God's Word. It's come from His mouth that we worship Him, that we find Jesus and follow Him as the Son of God. That's the point we're trying to make here, is that we can be urged by family to find Jesus like Eunice and Lois did for Timothy. But they didn't tell Timothy, "Now you do this because we're the source of truth." No, they did it because they said, "Go to the Scriptures." Chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. He learned the Scriptures, and from the Scriptures he learned to have faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to do with our children, is to teach them that the Scriptures are the source for the truth. And that's where we're going to find Jesus and follow His will. But now, let's continue this a minute. They didn't find Him among their friends and family, so they went to familiar places. They went back to Jerusalem. And again, that was a reasonable deduction, wasn't it? They went to some place that was familiar because that's where they had been. And maybe they would find Him there. Well, you know, Jerusalem these days is filled with monuments and shrines and cathedrals, mosques even, that are built and maintained by men. You know, the Bible taught a long time ago that God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, Acts 7th chapter. Even when Solomon made that temple, he acknowledged that the temple he was building would not contain God. And yet men have always tried to have had a tendency and been tempted to think that they could build shrines and monuments and cathedrals that were worthy expressions of the presence of God, and that God would be pleased with that and accept that. But what that ends up doing is just looking for God in things we're familiar with, things that we build. And He's not necessarily going to be there at all. And so, it's a warning for us. It's a warning that we can erect our traditional monuments and shrines. We can be comfortable in our traditions and think because we have comfortable religious traditions that Jesus is there. Again, churches around this globe, every first day of the week and every other day, for that matter, have traditions that they have set in place that they believe Jesus is there and that they'll find Jesus there. A billion people think they'll find Jesus in the Mass, in the Eucharist, of the daily Mass of the Catholic Church. All sorts of traditions. Paul was familiar with and comfortable with the traditions of the fathers as a Jew. But there came a time when those traditions, they corrupted the law of God. And in contrast, by the way, he describes there to not conferring with flesh and blood when the Son was revealed to him. You see, consulting the traditions of man is consulting flesh and blood to try to tell us where Jesus is. And He's not going to be found in the familiar places of human tradition. He's not going to be found in the familiar places of the commandments and doctrines of men. Colossians 2:8, 20-23. That's not where we're going to find Him. Where are we going to find Jesus? Where are we going to find Him doing His Father's business? In Luke 2:49. That's where Joseph and Mary found Him at the temple. And He said, "Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" We're going to find Jesus at all today. We're going to find Him in association with the accomplishment of His Father's business. He came, John 8:29, it says, to always do those things that please Him. That is, that please the Father. In John 8:54-59, look what Jesus said. He said, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that He is your God." Now get this, you say that the Father is your God, and He honors Jesus. "Yet you have not known Him, but I know Him. And if I say I don't know Him, I'll make Him a liar, but I do know Him and keep His word." Jesus, in doing the Father's business, is keeping the word of the Father. Now, where else would we expect to find Jesus except keeping the word of the Father? Now, let's put all that together. If I think I found Jesus in some doctrine, some practice, some religious activity that is not found in the word of the Father, have I really found Jesus? I think that I found Him, but I haven't if it's not the Word of the Father, because Jesus came doing the will of the Father. I cannot expect Jesus to be someplace that is not doing the Word of the Father. That's the verse, "I know Him and keep His Word." Where are you looking for Jesus? Outside His Word? In violation of His Word? If you are, you're not going to find Jesus there. That's not where He wants you to look for Him. He wants you to look for Him doing His Father's business. And that's what we must do. Jesus said, "We must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no one can work." Jesus came doing the work of His Father, doing His Word. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, is it not? "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who's in heaven." What's the will of the Father? It's the Word. that has been revealed to us by His Son and through His Son's apostles and prophets. This is how the Father speaks to us. God speaks to us in these last days in His Son, Hebrews 1 and verse 2. That's where we're going to find Jesus. So, again, we'll say, are you looking for Jesus? Have you found Him? Are you sure? Where have you found Him? If you found Him in familiar places, He might be there, but He's only going to be there if He's doing the Father's will in that familiar place. Only if He's doing the Father's business will you find Him there. Will you find Him among your friends and family? I hope so, but they'll not be your source of confidence, but an example and influence to turn you to the Word of God, the truth, to teach you in truth to have a loyal heart and a willing mind to follow Jesus. Well, let's make one other point before we close our study. Because you see, even those with selfish interests sometimes look for Jesus. Let's go to John 6. And this is a call for us to examine very carefully why we're looking for Jesus. And it requires humility on our part. It requires honesty with ourselves to examine why it is I'm looking for Jesus. In John 6, Jesus had fed the multitude, 5,000 men, along with women and children. And baskets full, 12 basketfuls were left over from the 5 loaves and 2 fish that He began with. A huge miracle on that occasion. And on the following day, verse 22, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which His disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with His disciples, but His disciples had gone away alone. Now, what He's alluding to is what He's just revealed, is that Jesus walked on the water that night. After feeding the multitude, He sent His disciples away, and He was praying, and then He walked on the water to them. And that's what that allusion is to in verse 23. And the people had known that there was only one boat. They saw them go, but they couldn't find Jesus. And other boats had come from Tiberias, the other side of the Sea of Galilee, near the place where they had ate the bread after Jesus had given thanks. And when the people saw that Jesus was not there, nor His disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. They're looking for Jesus. Where is Jesus? And when they found Him on the other side of the sea, they said to Him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Oh yes, they were seeking Jesus. And they found Him, but they didn't find who they were expecting to find. You see, they were expecting somebody who they could make king. Verse 15, He withdrew from their presence because He wasn't going to be the kind of king they wanted. He wasn't going to march to their beat. He was going to do the Father's business. He said, "You seek Me, but you are seeking Me out of selfish reasons and out of error. You're seeking Me because I gave you food. Your belly's hungry. You want more food. And you want to make Me a king in contradiction to the Father's will in the matter." A lot of people seek for Jesus, and we got to be careful lest we're among the number that look for Jesus selfishly. We look for Jesus when He fits into what we want. We look Him out, we search Him out when it feels good for us. Jesus said, that's what He meant when He said, "You're going to seek Me, I'm going to go away, and you're not going to be able to find Me." In the next chapter. You see, Lord, in that day He said, many will say to Me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Your name? Did we not do many good deeds in Your name and do many mighty works? Didn't we do these things in Your name?" And I'll say to you, "I never knew you. You thought you found Me. But you were doing these deeds of your own prerogative, of your own interests, not the Father's will. Yeah. You see, we're just not going to find Jesus when we seek Him with bias. If I have a religious bias, if I have a moral bias, I'm not going to find Jesus bringing that bias with me. A lot of people today think they've found Jesus, but they have an immoral bias. They say you can marry, women can marry women, men can marry men, and God's good with that, and you ought to be good with that, and if you're not good with that, you're the bigot. They're not going to find Jesus like that. James, the 4th chapter, says if we make ourselves a friend of the world, we're God's enemy. We're not going to find Jesus if we're going to hold hands with the world in our life. Verse 8 of James 4 goes on to say verse 8 says, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. If I'm going to find Jesus today, I'm going to have to purify my heart by the truth, through repentance. I can't carry the world with me and think I've found Jesus. Can't do it. Because no man can serve two masters. It's not going to happen. So Jesus warned, you know, you can say, Lord, Lord. He warns me. Joe, you can say, Lord, Lord, but that's not going to be enough if you don't do the will of the Father. If you don't do the things that I command. Jesus, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? I'm not really your Lord if you don't do what I say. And if you seek me out of some selfish interest rather than the full surrender to my will, to the will of the Father, you're not going to find me. Now, Hebrews 11 gives us a wonderful illustration, an example upon example of people who found God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to be well pleasing to God, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Seeking God. The idea of diligently there is to search out, to crave, to investigate and demand, to exert effort to find something. He says we got to diligently seek Him. And the book of Hebrews, the chapter of 11 of the book of Hebrews shows us people who diligently sought after and found God. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and others. What did they do? They listened to God. God spoke His will. They listened to God. They heard God and they obeyed God. They trusted that God was right and they did His will. They found God because of their faith. People of faith seek and find God by hearing and doing the will of God. That's the message. We can't simply say, well, I have faith, I believe, I'm seeking God, and I'm earnest in that. Well, why are you earnest? What's your purpose? Is it to surrender to the will of God, or is it to try to find Him by applying some false teaching in the meantime? Like coming and making Jesus king by force. That wasn't going to work. We're not going to find Jesus in error. We're not. We're not going to find Him in selfishness. We're not going to find Him in self-righteousness. We're not going to find Him in arrogance and pride. We're not going to find Him in the world. We're going to find Him when there's full surrender of ourself to the will of God, to doing the Father's will as Jesus did. Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and who knocks the door will be opened to him. But we've got to do that. We've got to seek for Jesus. We've got to seek for Him where He will be found. He's going to be found in His holy word. That's where we're going to find Jesus, is in truth. We're going to find the examples of His life in the lives of faithful Christians, true enough. We're going to have influence of Christians as the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And they're going to point us to Jesus. Not to themselves, but to Jesus and to His will. There's an illustration of this principle in the Old Testament. in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 through 14. And really it begins in verse 10, I suppose, when this letter that Jeremiah wrote to the people in bondage, in exile in Babylon. God said, "Thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place." So here's God's message to His people who have been punished for their sin. They're in exile. And yet God says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I'll gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord, and bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." In other words, He promises, "I'll bring you back to Jerusalem. When you seek me," what? "When you seek me with all of your heart. When you seek me in truth, when you have repented, turned away from your sin and your idolatry and your stubbornness in sin, as the prophets time and time and time repeatedly reveal and urge them to do. God punishing them now, He says, you'll find me. If you'll repent and obey, you'll receive blessing. I'll bring you back." That's the call of the gospel. Acts 17 and verse 30, God commands all men everywhere to repent, in that He's appointed a day in which He'll judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He's ordained. And He's assured us of this, and that He's raised Him from the dead. This is the reason we preach Christ, Colossians 1:28, to present every man complete in Christ. The gospel is preached so people will look and find Jesus. They're looking for Jesus. Where is it? People want to find Jesus. The gospel shows us how to find Jesus. Amen. John 1:14. It says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Oh yes, when we look for Jesus in the right place, for the right reasons, we will find Him. He's found in His gospel. He's found in His Scripture, inspired of God, to lead us to the Savior and to sustain us in the Savior, to teach us to live with trust and faith in the Savior, and to take us home to glory. So we close with the Lord's invitation to look for and find Jesus. Find His Son. He's there in the Word of God. He's there in His Gospel. And He wants to save you. You'll have faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Then repent as He's commanded. Repent of your sin. Change your heart. Humble your heart and change it to do the will of God. Confess that He's the Son of God and be baptized into Him for the remission of your sins. He will save you. He'll add you to His church. And having found Jesus, you can then walk with Jesus in His truth for the purposes of doing the Father's will, accomplishing the Father's business in your life, even as He did in His. If you're a Christian, there's sin you need to repent of. It's the same invitation to return in prayerful repentance. He will hear that prayer and He will forgive. And we urge you to come while we stand and sing.